Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, it's Jackie Cation, and you are listening to the Dork Forest. The website's jackiecation.com, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com if you like a determiner. Let's do the credits. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio and video. Vilmos works on JackieCation.com. And Mike Rickberg sang the song with his wife, Sarah. He composed it, and he will sing his version of the Mexican hat dance at the end of this show. Thank you so much for listening to the Dork Forest. Here's a scoop. I'm doing stand-up online. A lot of Zoom shows will eventually go back on the road. Sign up for my email list. It's easy to get off. It's harder to get on than it is to get off. And no harm, no foul, if ever bored. JackieCation.com. Sign up for the email list. You'll find out about my weekly Zoom shows and stand up on the road eventually. You may donate to the show if you would like. I would like. Sure, I would. There's PayPal, Jackie@JackieCation.com, and there is a PayPal button on both DorkForest.com and JackieCation.com, and there's Venmo if you like Venmo, Jackie-Cation, oddly enough. If you have listened to all of the shows, go to dorkforest.bandcamp.com, I think. The Dork Forest has a Bandcamp page. You can listen to a lot of ones that are free from pre-2009 when I started pre-recording. And then there's live episodes that cost me a couple of bucks, so I charge you a couple of bucks. There's also some stand-up. There's a story album that's very exciting there. And other than that, I have a lot of merch in my garage. Feel free to order if you know anybody who doesn't have any CDs or the DVD. And you can follow me everywhere at Jackie Cation. Let's get into the show.
Hi, Jackie Cation in my garage. Getting to talk to Chris Mancini again. I think this is our second quarantine episode.
It very well may be, if not more, if we add the What Are You Watching episodes. I don't know. I mean, It could be more.
Chris Mancini, you may remember him from Comedy Film Nerds and my many appearances on Comedy Film Nerds, a delightful program still available in archive, no doubt. But if you were to go to White Cat Entertainment, you could see Chris Mancini's new projects, which are a podcast called What Are You Watching? And a podcast called The Quiet Journeys of Professor Atwood. And these are beautiful moments that you can listen to in your life. And it's at White Cat Stories on Twitter and Facebook. And then just whitecatentertainment.com has everything. Right, Chris?
Right. And that's the hub. So you can kind of go there and get the podcast, graphic novels. There's a store. Everything, everything sprouts from there.
Fair enough. And you have a new Kickstarter that I supported, that I believe in. It is a new graphic novel that you wrote. Called Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master.
Yes, volume one is being delivered as we speak, and volume two has literally just launched on the Kickstarter. It'll go from all of August to September 5th. So even if you haven't supported volume one, guess what? You still could. You could get volume one and volume two as a package in the new Kickstarter, or you could go to whitecatentertainment.com and get the first one. And like you, I like the 80s, Jackie.
Do you?
I love the 80s. I do. I love
is
the action.
Is that your dorkdom? The
80s? It's part of it, yes. And I wanted to make like kind of like a comic book that was like, kind of had all the things I loved about the 80s, like the comedy, the buddy movies, the action, all kind of mixed together, like Goonies, Big Trouble in Little China, all the Spielberg movies, even maybe a little Flash Gordon that was such a weird movie. Remember that? Anyway.
You know what? I haven't seen any of those three movies. I've seen parts of China thing. I saw parts of Goonies, and I've seen parts of Flash Gordon.
Well, I would say, you know, take an evening and have a nice 80s evening and just enjoy them.
I did see, of course, and I own, actually, the DVD for The Last Dragon, which was the 80s with the Shogun of Harlem, Shonuff, and Vanity starring Vanity.
When he couldn't get quite the power of the dragon, where only his fists would glow, if you remember. Towards
and he ate popcorn with chopsticks, which seems racially insensitive now. And at the time, just seemed kind of silly, good fun.
Right.
So.
You know, you can't blame the 80s for everything.
You can give it a shot. I blame most of the 80s for the 80s. And a parachute pants, come on.
Yes, there are some legitimate gripes, for sure, that could not be dismissed in a court of law, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, but but that's what it is. It's an amalgam of like all my years in comedy, my years of watching movies, and my love of action and Jackie Chan and comedy all combined.
I do love a Jackie Chan movie to this day. Whitecatentertainment.com. But now I think the last time you were on the Dork Forest, we talked about board games.
Yes.
What we'd like to talk about this time, Chris Mancini, I think, is board games.
Let's talk about board games. As you can see behind me, I have my own board game table, although my son has co-opted it for building Legos. That's a Harry Potter Lego set he's working on because with the pandemic, haven't really had people over for, I don't know, a year or so more
to play video. I would say 17 months, my friend.
Yeah, to play board games.
We started doing it. Well, you know, you're familiar with the works of Andy Ashcraft and his love of board games.
I am indeed. I'm also familiar with the Andy Ashcraft board games.
Right. The games that he indeed has created. He just had a meeting. I was like, do you want to sit in on this? And he was like, kind of, but I've got a bunch of work to do because I just have a new pitch that I have to write. And so, because he's got a prototype in the works with a new company, which is kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. And, but we have kickstarted a couple of larger than life board games that there is no end. You were talking about sort of the couple of big board games that you've gotten into in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a good core group. You got a four that you could play.
Yes.
Have you guys been cranking it out?
We try to get together at least once a month. And then what we were doing is we were actually going online and going through Steam to actually do the virtual board games. Like, instead of actually playing online video games.
Tabletop simulator,
yeah. And then
us
there was
too.
A couple. Yes, because that's a way you could actually kind of do it. But there's always someone who hasn't upgraded their computer in 8 years, and then that kind of slows down or crashes everything for everyone else.
Oh, you were doing it over because we had a core group we were doing it with that... We just made sure everybody was, and so every Tuesday, like today is Tuesday.
Yeah.
And we're still doing it. And for the first couple of weeks, Andy had a series of, we would be on Zoom on somebody's phone. Somebody else's phone would be pointed down at a board game that Andy, they were usually co-op games so that he could move all the pieces.
Oh, you kind of like jury-rigged your own online board game.
We did our own tabletop simulator, and then we were like, let's just do tabletop simulator. And then Andy hated tabletop. He really doesn't like tabletop simulator because the coding on it, because when you go into Steam, you go into tabletop simulator, and then you have to go into the workshop. And in
the valley fog and smoke is making my eyes water, so...
So is that what you were doing? Were you going to Steam and then Tabletop Simulator and then the workshop to play every game that's ever been invented?
No, we actually were looking into Tabletop Simulator, but we limited ourselves to games that actually had digital versions of themselves. Like
which one?
Scythe. We played Scythe a lot, and it was great because you could do something through Steam called Remote Play Together, where only one person needed the game, and then everyone else took turns moving the mouse. So it was kind of similar, with the exception of you didn't need two phones and someone holding it over the game.
And then you would just have Zoom or something on the side so that you could see each other and chat? Did you do that?
Yeah, that's exactly what we did. Then we had our phones on the side as Zoom, and then that was the video. But what we did, we tried to do it like everyone tries to get the technology where you only need one thing. Steam tried to do it where you could have like a video or an audio chat while you were playing.
Yeah.
It never worked.
You had to do Discord. You had to go to something, right? We bailed on that pretty early. We did. So we were playing Lords of Waterdeep just on that. D&D, Lords of Waterdeep. The D&D is a misnomer. Lords of Waterdeep is the board game. Everybody had to own it. We also did Ticket to Ride. And
well, now Lords of Waterdeep does have remote play together. Only one person needed that one too.
Oh, well, we all just bought it because there were days when Steam was just selling. Like, you would get things for $3 a game.
Yeah.
So we did Small World. Have you ever played Small World?
Only at your house.
Okay, yeah. It's sort of it's a quicker version of Risk. So
right.
So you have to create a Steam account. You have to create an EA account. You have to create an Origin account. You have to create you have to create an account.
Pain in the ass.
It's a pain in the ass. But if you do go to Steam and then you go to Tabletop Simulator, you can buy games through that are like Lords of Waterdeep or Scythe.
Right.
Or probably Carcassonne and Settlers.
Right.
But if you go to something called The Workshop, every single game you've ever wanted to play. We played a Lord of the Rings deck builder that I enjoy a great deal. We play Clank almost every week. But the board, you have to learn the key commands and you have to make sure you could drop things off of the board. And it's just, you want to find sort of the best coded versions. Everybody makes a different version. Right. And they're free. It's free to do Tabletop Simulator in The Workshop. And then you just have the Zoom going, and it was, you know, every Tuesday we'd start at 8, we'd go to midnight for the last 16 months. We would also like to be in a room together around a table.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, when we were able to actually get back together and we're like, all right, everyone vaccinated. All right, great. Game night. It was weird. Like, wow, we kind of haven't done this in a while. It just... I'm like, oh, that's right. And because we haven't, you know, been in the same room for over a year. And, you know, it's as, you know, as a stopgap measure, Steam and Tabletop Simulator are good, but it's just not the same as having people around a table and playing.
It is true. It is like doing stand-up online versus in real life. It isn't. It's just different is what it is. Like, you want to play. Like, I've also taken to playing some PC games on Steam, you know, where I have a USB port controller, and then I could play like Knockout City and then I could push to Twitch, and so like I've been playing with Carmen Morales and Ron Funches this game called Knockout City. And Knockout City is essentially, it's a first-person shooter, except it's not. It's dodgeball. And and you can throw each other, and it's super fun. But there's Steam is doing a really good job for quarantine, man. They really are. They've risen to the occasion, quite honestly.
Yeah. And like you said, they have sales, so like the entry point is not as bad. You could get into these games, and like we did, like I think Lords of Waterdeep, Pandemic, Scythe, and I think I just got Root, but that one's different. Everyone has to buy a copy of that, so that's, you know, the entry is a little harder for that. But I love the remote play together, where if one person buys it, you could try it out, and then if the gaming group says no, then only one person is out $15.
Right, and if push comes to shove, Venmo's also been doing good work here in quarantine.
Yes.
So everybody could throw you $3.
Exactly.
So if that's how bad it was, if you were so angry, you're like, I spent $15.
Right.
Somebody pony up. I would like $3 from each five of you.
You should have liked this game as much as me. What is wrong with you? You're broken. Give me $5.
Let me tell you something. So. I did spend $10 on a game that I didn't like that my friend Carmen suggested, and it's called Pixel Junk Monster Something. And it's a tower building, tower defense game. And it was not intuitively fun for me.
Right.
So I think I'll have to play it again with her if it's going to be something that ever is going to be a reason I spent $15. What are you going to do? You got to try to, you're in quarantine. You're in lockdown. Yeah. You got to, and Zoom was our only interaction with other people that weren't our immediate families. If we had immediate families, right?
And well, sometimes you got to just roll the dice with $15.
Yeah, that's
see
it.
See what happens.
You gotta play hard. You gotta just give it a shot. Lords of Waterdeep, I like. I still play Lords of Waterdeep solo, and then I want to play it. But one of our players actually ended up. We played it so much, he was like, "I can't play Lords of Waterdeep."
Right.
And I was like, "What about the expansions? Expansions are nice. You want to play Undermountain?"
And, they are fun, the expansions. They do add to the gameplay. They do.
They do. And they also add some time to the gameplay.
Yes.
And
let's say together the most annoying part of the digital version of Lords of Waterdeep.
Oh, what is it?
That every turn before your turn gets repeated in quick motion before you get to take your turn. It's this weird gameplay quirk.
Right. And see, I was going to say having to press the green triangle 1,000 times and forgetting to press it. And so eventually someone has to go, "Phil, did you, is it still, you, are you still, you're still thinking,
yeah.
what are you,
yeah.
because once you press the final triangle, then it re-shows the order. Mm-hmm. And then what we've taken to doing is just as soon as anybody buys a building, we're like, "Oh, I take it you're the builder." And then that's fun for us. That's I like Lords of Waterdeep.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Yeah. And but on tabletop, I like and then we played Clank. And when we gathered in real life, we played Clank again.
Mm-hmm.
Clank is much more fun when you don't have to try to change your cameras every 2 feet, because Tabletop Simulator has cameras that you can set and you can zoom in and you can see other people's what's laying in front of them.
I haven't played Clank yet. Like, what kind of game is it?
It's a dungeon crawl and a deck builder. And so it's pretty great. You go in, you jump from places. You need swords and boots. You need boots to move. You need swords to fight the monsters as you get down deeper. And then what you're doing is you're going for artifacts. You get that artifact. Mm. There are different values to the artifacts. You could also pick up like a monkey's paw and keys to get up locked dungeon areas. If you die, the first person to, and Clank is that's how much noise you're making wake up and irritate the dragon.
Got it.
So when you buy these cards and the different cards and different generate Clank, and then you wake up the dragon, cubes are added to a bag, and so you have a certain amount of health. There's a health bar. And so you're in the deep. The dragon, you know, wakes up and you get some hits. If you are killed above ground, you still get to count your victory points because the townspeople come and drag you off. If you are killed underground, you are dead. You do not. It doesn't matter if you have the greatest. You will just be something for the next adventurer to find, and they'll get to roll your body without all the effort. But actually, it doesn't get. There's no legacy to it. There's no Clank legacy. I wonder if there is a Clank legacy.
Might be in development somewhere.
Yeah. I have a new favorite cooperative, sort of half competition, half cooperative game. Do you play Ravensclaw? Ravensburger? Ravens something? What the?
The company Ravensburger?
The company.
We have a couple of Ravensburger games for sure. Mm-hmm.
It is from them. And it is based, and this is why I mentioned it, is because Chris Mancini, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure this is one of your favorite movies. Maybe not the favorite, but one of your favorites, the movie Jaws.
Of course, yes.
You enjoy the movie Jaws?
Indeed. I thought you were going to say Aliens, there we go. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something about this Ravensburger version of Jaws. It is incredibly true to the IP.
Oh.
It feels like you're in the movie. Three people play those guys in the boat. I've only seen Jaws once, by the way.
Yeah.
And then one person plays Jaws. And so the first
they get to play the shark?
Yeah. The first half of the game is Jaws circling the island trying to eat swimmers.
Mm-hmm.
And Quint, Brody, and whatever. Hooper. trying to
Richard Dreyfuss
trying to save swimmers and attach two barrels to Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
And so once that happens, or Jaws eats nine swimmers, the board flips over.
Uh-huh.
And you are Hooper, Quint, and Brody on that boat with Jaws.
Oh, cool. So it's got like two phases.
Game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the items that they had. And that boat is not big enough.
But now, can I, let's say I bought this Jaws game.
Mm-hmm.
Could I pimp it out by buying more extensive painted miniatures on Etsy, like a bigger shark, like or an actual boat? Like, I wonder what could I do to pimp out that game?
You could probably do a lot of things, because here's the thing about Jaws, is that it is pretty basic, though mm-hmm. the images are pretty good. You know, they're Let's show you what I could show you here.
That's kind of been my thing with board games now. It's like, well, this game is great, but how could I spend more money on it and not make anything change? So
that is kind of hilarious and kind of the way I am also interested. I am also truly interested. This is the Jaws game.
Oh, yeah.
So do you see here where my cursor is?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That is Jaws. It is mm-hmm. just a little dude. So mm-hmm. you could buy minifigs. You could mod mm-hmm. things. You could do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you have different tools and different boats. So you could buy a better boat than that one, right? That's not.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you could, here's one boat. When this is the swimming side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another side of it. So, but yes, you could totally. Are you into modding games, or do you like it when you can buy expansions?
I don't like modding the games. I do like the expansions. I just like getting a little more detail on the board. Like with the minis, like we have Gloomhaven, and that's one I would probably have spent more than double the cost of the actual game that I've added. Like, I'm like, okay, well, I have figures and monster standees, but this isn't good enough. I need an actual plastic bookshelf, and I need an actual plastic rock to put on these maps. So, collections on Etsy where you could actually get these things. I'm like, oh, well, wait, no. Now I need a box organizer that I have to build out of balsa wood from a broken token. So, I start adding these things on, and like, I'm like, but none of this changes how the game plays. But I will say, you know, when you have more of a 3D board with more things on it, it gets a little more immersive, and it's more fun. And then my son has been into painting Warhammer figures. So he's got a whole paint set.
Oh yeah.
So when he paints, I kind of bring my Gloomhaven stuff over, which are basically little 3D printed rocks and shelves and stuff. And he looks at them like, well, those aren't very detailed. I'm like, well, I know, because they're not, you know, $20 Warhammer figures.
Right. Yeah. And does he paint them for you?
So he offered to, but he's like, well, I got to paint my own figures first. So.
Oh, because I have a project for him if he's willing to start painting. Because we bought a game on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
And it has got 100 characters.
Oh, yeah. Marvel United. Huh? I almost backed that one.
It is.
That's a lot of figures.
It is so much figures.
Mm-hmm.
And there's we just backed the X-Men.
Uh-huh.
And you can be any of these people.
Wow.
And none of them are painted.
Mm-hmm.
And I have looked online to people that paint.
Yes.
And they look amazing.
They do. They
do. If I did it, it would be a horrible splash paint of grossness.
Well, that's what I was kind of doing with my son, where he would paint his figures and I would sit with him and I'd start doing some of my little Gloomhaven things. And his came out better, let's just say. And even like what I'm doing is less detailed. I'm like, okay, well, I could do a couple things here and there, but they're never going to look as good as somebody who's been doing it for like years.
Yep.
Although my son's getting pretty good at it, I have to say. I just bought on Kickstarter, backed on Kickstarter. Like, that's the thing about Kickstarter. You could spend hundreds of dollars on a game and get it a year and a half later.
Yep.
And then forget about it. Like, I just got the big box of Terraforming Mars.
Oh.
So now that game's been out for a long time. So, but what I got was the big box where it had all the expansions. I'm like, all right, well, I've been wanting to get this game for a while. Why don't I get it in the most expensive way possible? So I got the game, all of the expansions, and then all the tiles, like with the ocean and city tiles, they have, they're already pre-painted. So they're already blue and they're already colors
awesome.
And it looks great. So I don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I paid extra to put little domes on the cities. So I have this giant box with all these things and it just came in. So I haven't even had a chance to like play it yet. But like I start off a little slower where I'm like, all right, no expansions. Let me just play the base game first. And then
make sure you like it. Make sure you like it.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll add then after that, I'll add, you know, the complications of the expansions and all the dynamics that, that come with them. But I'm really excited to dig into it, and the pieces look really cool, and, you know, like you can put, like, I really want to terraform Mars now, like, for real, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so does several billionaires who could do other things, and we would all be pleased, but I get it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's, just the fact that, you know, you have domes on the cities and there's like a shopping district and then there's like a little nuclear explosion if something went awry and
what's it called?
It's called Terraforming Mars Big Box, and I don't know if it'll probably end up in retail too, but I just got it from a Kickstarter campaign, so if you could bring it up you could actually see the tiles. But
yeah.
Are you
I'm looking.
Yeah, I was going to say if you find it. Otherwise, are we able to edit and pause? I could run into the house and get the actual game.
Oh,
show you.
We don't have to edit or pause. We could just keep looking. Because here's the thing, is that there's so many like here's the box, right? So that's just the box. For terraforming Mars. And what I do want to see, though, is I want to see those pieces.
There it is. Yeah, those are the pieces.
So each
that's actually what they look like.
That's one small piece?
Like no, each hex is a different piece. Like you have the explosion, you have a city, you have a
Settlers hexes?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then you have the forest ones. Uh-huh. Yeah, like that.
Okay. That is amazing.
Yeah. And then you put your little cubes on each one to establish ownership.
Sure. And then is this 3D?
Oh, yeah. No, it's all actual 3D models that go onto the board. That's why I bought it. I'm like, this would save me from painting.
Oh, wait a minute. So they aren't just paintings of the hexes.
They're
3D, like this forest and rock formations come out of the hex.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Holy smokes. Like here's Andy got the expansion. He got the Kickstarter of Dwellings of Eldervale.
Yeah, that's very 2017 to have flat tiles.
Oh, pardon me. But what he did get with the Dwellings of Eldervale, the expansion was he got the monsters that come in to fight, and they all have so here's this 3D monster business, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
They came with each of these characters come with a stand that makes a noise, like a rawr if it's a dragon or something else. And so it's fun, but it's just the 3D part of it is pretty awesome.
Right.
That terraforming thing sounds amazing. We have to come over and play that.
Yes, please.
We're both vaccinated and
excellent.
And we're wearing masks so that you won't even catch a cold.
Yeah.
we both got off of an airplane this last week and felt like we had something, and we're like, oh, it's COVID. We got COVID. And we didn't. We had colds. We had travel crud, essentially, right?
Yeah, you know, that's what people forget. There's other germs out there, too, that just aren't getting the PR. Right, they're still there.
Bad pub. The common cold. And, so that Marvel's United business, though, you literally, we played, I think we played as Howard the Duck. We decided to play as all animals, like like a Pet Avengers, Squirrel Girl. Yeah, it wasn't Pet Avengers because I don't think we have those pets yet. But
somebody must have played Rocket.
And Hella one-shotted us. We should have played, like, it's good to play. They do a nice job of the game balance where they, if you play in theme, right? If you play as Thor and Loki, you have a better chance, right? Mm-hmm. And the new X-Men one that's coming out, they go so deep into the long boxes with characters, it's ridiculous. Right. Mm-hmm. So we have had people over to play the games. And what is this one that... Now, see, there is a game that Andy has stacked over there. He's clearly done an unboxing. But I don't know what it is. What else have you gotten besides, tell me a story while I grab this thing.
Okay. Well, I'm waiting for a big one that got obviously delayed. Kickstarter games get delayed on a regular basis. It's called Return to Dark Tower. It is actually a remake of the 80s game Dark Tower that was kind of had like an electronic component in the middle of it. And I missed the Kickstarter and I was furious about it. I'm like, I can't believe I missed this Kickstarter. And then all the pre-orders were closed. So I'm like, if only there was a site that I could pay for a Kickstarter late and still get everything. And turns out there is.
eBay.
There's a place called the Game Steward where you can actually go and, you know, it's a little more expensive, obviously, because you're getting punished for missing the Kickstarter.
Yes, you are.
But I get that. That is capitalism. I understand.
That's exactly how it's set up to work.
Yes. So I was able to get what I wanted and I ordered it, but it still obviously hasn't come in yet because it's a double delay. Not only if the Kickstarter gets delayed, because the Kickstarter has to go to, the facility, the Game Steward, and then Game Steward then sends it out to you. But I was able to get, and it's the same thing we're talking about. I'm like, well, you know, they're standees, but I'm going to pay the extra tier and get the actual minifigs of the monsters.
Yeah.
But the thing that I love about this game that I can't wait to get is it, first of all, there's an electronic tower in the middle of the game, that spits out skulls. It attaches to an app, so the app kind of runs the game as you play.
What's it
and
called?
Then it's called Return to Dark Tower.
Okay.
And it was designed, it's a remake of an 80s game. It was designed by the creator of Gloomhaven and Rob Davio, who also did Pandemic Legacy and all of the Legacy games and Risk Legacy. So it's like two superstars of game design combined to actually make this remake. And they're releasing updates periodically about like, okay, well, now there's different colored skulls. Now there's like guilds that will help your characters. And there's dungeons that the characters actually go through on the board. And then at the end, a giant monster comes out of the tower and then you have to fight him. And then that's the way the game works.
The big boss.
Yeah, the big boss. So I'm like, this sounds great. First of all, again, we already talked about how much I love the 80s. So it's a remake of an 80s game. And it just looks super fun. So I'm hoping I'll get that before the end of the year.
Right. Things will just show up on our front porch.
Right.
And Andy's like, this might be that thing. Yeah. And then he opens it and he's like, no, it's the other thing. And so this is a game that he just received. It's called Merchant's Cove. Mm-hmm. And it's got expansions. The you can play with the innkeeper. Uh-huh. You can play with the oracle. Mm-hmm. And then there seems to be some sort of bonus secret stash.
Wow.
So we haven't got to play it at all. Mm-hmm. It's 14 and above. Takes 90 minutes. I don't believe them.
No, I never believe those times.
Get this. It's a solo game. You can play alone.
Oh, wow.
Plays 1 to 4 people. This is too big of a box to only play four people. It should go
huge.
Up to seven people, quite honestly. Yeah. And yeah, I want that to play more than four people. But the fact that it plays one people means that Andy can play it. If I'm busy doing something else. I remember the first solo game I ever bought him was a game called Friday. And it's by that game company, that guy that only makes games that start with an F.
I'm not familiar with this company.
Yeah, it is.
But do you have a section in your closet that's, Andy's games for when Jackie's on the road?
We have so many closets. And the fact that this game is in the garage means that we're out of closet. And let me tell you, okay, it's called Friedman Freese is the name of the guy who makes these games. And he only makes games that start with F.
Oh, good for him.
But Friday is a great game. It's essentially, it kind of reminds me of Solitaire. But he's a German game designer.
Is it like Robinson Crusoe's, companion named Friday? Is that what it is?
You spend the entire time trying to get Robinson Crusoe off of my fucking island, which also starts with an F. But he has, like, he made something called Fauna. He made something called Fabled Fruit. Factory Manager.
Fearsome Floors, I'm seeing.
Fearsome Floors, you know it. Floopin' Friedelin. I don't know if that's just in German, though. So, yeah, but Friday is actually really fun and it's really well balanced. I would recommend it as if you can't get people to play board games with you, there are a lot of new games that are super fun that you can play solo that are like solitaire. It's like if you like playing solitaire, you might like solitaire with a story.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely bought one of those because I thought I had some friends over that might want to enjoy it. It's kind of like a choose your own adventure type game. It's called The Seventh Continent.
Okay.
And it's super cheap right now. And I think it's only like 59 or 69 bucks. And it's a giant box of cards, essentially.
Why is that cheap? What happened there?
And then, I'm going by Gloomhaven prices.
So. Okay, fair enough.
For cards, that is a little expensive now that you mention it.
It feels...
So the cards actually make a map and you go through and you're explorers, I think in the early 1900s, and basically you have to lift a curse or you die. And you could play solo or you could play with a group of three other people, but you make all the decisions and moves together. So even when you're playing together, there's no turns. Like somebody could go two or three times in a row. You could, somebody could skip a turn. Somebody could, or you could go one turn per person. So it's a really interesting cooperative game, but also you could play it by yourself. And the people I played it with, they did not enjoy it as much as I did.
Oh, really?
So yeah, they like more kind of tactical or even just a little more, it's weird to say action-y board games. This was more exploring and reading and choose your own adventure-y, which I really like. But I think I might be going solo on that one.
Yeah. This feels like very much, it might not be for me. Do you remember that one time, the first time we ever did play a board game together and it was 4 hours and I had just a stress headache? We were playing Axis and Allies.
I do remember that. Yeah. Now, to be fair, that is one of the most tedious and slow board games ever made. So it's certainly understandable.
Unless you love it.
Yeah.
And then you're psyched that it takes 6 hours to get to 1944.
Because I do love it and I still find it tedious and slow.
That is so funny. Andy's got, he's got a couple of games that are, speaking of 3D games, his buddy Lee has them as well.
We're having construction in the background, by the way. I don't know if you're
hearing
that.
No, I am not hearing that. That's the good news. He has, there's a NASCAR game where you race. There's an X-Wing game that is all about angles.
Yes.
Where you have, and Andy has bought so many different X-Wings and Star Wars little characters. Like, you buy ships. And the ships are all $10 each or $5 each. And then
There's I have a starter set on this, but I just have like the one ship to start and I haven't really gotten into it yet.
Right. And because there's also a biplane one that his buddy Lee has where you can dogfight in World War One, which is kind of a nice sleeve on that.
Like, do you like or some, what is the expansion like a something like a Zeppelin or like the bigger planes, like probably something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You could buy extra. You could. Mm-hmm. And essentially with the Star Wars one, you can buy the giant, like the thing that comes over the when the thing is scrolling. You could buy that ship, and it
you
takes
could buy a Star Destroyer.
You could buy a Star Destroyer.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So you have tiny X-wings, and then the Star Destroyer is this big.
Oh my god!
You could buy a Millennium Falcon, and they're all to scale.
Right.
And then, but the good thing is you don't need a board for it. You're just playing on like a big table. Like we bought this table before the pandemic when we first built this tiny room.
Right.
Because we were going to have people over.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Yeah, it was, I got, I think, 1 year out of my game table and then 1 year off.
Right. So. And now it's storing Legos.
Yes.
So, by the way, I am talking with Chris Mancini, and Chris Mancini has a new comic book graphic novel out called Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master, and you can get more information for everything. Like, it's at White Cat Stories on Twitter and Facebook, but whitecatentertainment.com can tell you where to just purchase that comic book or to do the Kickstarter for Volume 2. Where you could kickstart and get both volume one and volume two just now, which would help him produce a second volume, which would be nice. He has two podcasts. What Are You Watching? Which I believe I have been on because what was I watching? And then The Quiet Journey of Professor Atwood, which I think is scripted. Is it not?
It is. And by the way, you're plugging my stuff way better than I've ever done. So thank you. But yeah, I created Quiet Journeys of Professor Atwood because as things were going crazy last year, I wanted to create something that was story driven, but also relaxing to help people kind of chill and help them get to sleep. So I play a scientist slash explorer who goes on different journeys like down the Amazon or into space, or that right now he's time traveling and finding a resort at the beginning of time that shouldn't be there. Like, so there are all these relaxing stories and journeys, but it has music and sound design. So everything kind of combines with my narration to kind of give you like a nice chill story, like whether or above the clouds or underwater. And it's a whole kind of like story universe where everything also kind of interconnects. So if you fall asleep, not a big deal. You miss something, you can always go back and re-listen and enjoy them like on their own too.
How long is each episode or does it vary?
It varies, but each episode is probably about 30 to 40 minutes. And since they are so production and writing intensive, I only do two a month. So it's every, it's bi-weekly.
Fair enough. And 30 or 40 minutes, that for some people, that's how long it takes them to get to sleep. So it might be nice right before bed, and it's not going to be some sort of goddamn nightmare. So, yeah. So why don't you listen to a nice adventure story before you go to bed? And it's called The Quiet Journeys of Professor Atwood.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
And also at the White Cat Entertainment store. Now, normally we have like T-shirts and mugs, but for Quiet Journeys, we actually also have blankets. So you could actually buy a Quiet Journeys blanket to snuggle up and listen.
Cuddle up. Awesome. I love that. Cool. I think that's a great idea. And what else? The other things. What else are you? Have you gotten any other stuff? Or because we have so many games, quite honestly, right now.
Yeah. Those are the things that I've been waiting for and coming in. I did get another Scythe expansion that I haven't opened yet because I've been enjoying Scythe online with the friends. But now when people can start coming back over, I wanted to like open up, like I got an Airships one that we haven't opened yet. And then there's one called The Rise of Fenris that is actually a campaign that we could all kind of play together. But it's a matter of just kind of, you know, finally opening them up, having people over, and then what I try to do too, Jackie, I know you do this sometimes too. You really have to prepare when you have people over for a game night. Like you know, food has to be ready. I try to set up as much as possible so you don't lose that hour of setup, you know, right. when people come over. Especially if we're doing Gloomhaven, I actually text everyone before and ask which scenario they want to do.
That's so great. That's a really good idea. And
so then I try to get everything set up before so we have more time to play, because even if we're not done, you know, you hit that 11, 12 o'clock mark, and you're like, you know what, we want to finish, but we're also completely exhausted and need to be able to be awake to drive home.
Right. And so, and if you, and some people don't like playing board games because of that setup, because yes. they feel like it's a 3-hour commitment, which mm-hmm. is one of the reasons why I like sort of party games and why party games are such a hit right now, is because they're right. usually easy to set up. Everyone yep. gets in, they're done in 20 mm-hmm. minutes. Your life is complete.
Yeah. One of the things we use for that specifically, like let's say we end early, but we still kind of want to play, we do the You Don't Know Jack games.
Oh, yeah.
Which are super fun, because I think I have like 3 sets of those. Like you get them in packs. Like I think I have 1, 2, and I think 6 or whatever. I buy the ones that when they go on sale, because yeah. they're all kind of similar. So mm-hmm. I see no reason to spend $60 on one of them.
Right.
But what it is, what's so great about it is it doesn't matter if you have like 6 or 8 people. Everyone uses their phone as a controller.
Oh,
so,
nice.
You know, you just throw it up on the PlayStation and then it starts. Then everyone types a code in their phone and everyone's playing with their phone, which is their becomes their controller.
Yeah.
So we do that a lot, too.
Yeah, we try. We also played on the Tuesday game nights. We also played just code names.
Oh, I heard that's fun. I haven't played that yet either.
You can play that with your phone on a website, mm-hmm. a code names website, and mm-hmm. you could have teams, and it's quite. It's quite easy. Like there's I've done a Twitch. There's a lot more Twitch gaming going on in the world. Mm-hmm. And I haven't yet completely figured out Discord for myself. But if mm-hmm. when I play on Twitch and somebody's got a Discord set up, I can be talked through it. I can all of a sudden be talking to people online, though, because Zoom has been my go-to as far as right. visiting mm-hmm. and also gaming. Just because it's the easiest, and I accidentally bought the most expensive Zoom package possible. $2,000 for the year.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is the correct response. I could have lit $1,800 on fire.
Well, what's interesting is they don't even really have that package. I think you got kind of scammed.
Here's the good news, is whenever I want to call Zoom, they take my calls.
Was it Z-O-U-M? Is that when you...
that's actually Zune, and it's I think it's a pre-iPod thing that I bought.
So what was it, like a pro package that you got?
Yeah, I could have 10 administrators. I've literally, gotcha. Andy's a full administrator. I've sold 2 other slots. If you would like a Zoom slot, you can pay me the minimum, which is $150 for a year, and then mm-hmm. Zoom will also take your calls. But nobody needs Zoom anymore, so don't sweat it. But it is you get full benefits, and it's I've sold 1 slot to my sister, and I've sold 1 slot to Carmen Morales, and I think 1 to Mary Mack. And then I've given 1 to Andy Ashcraft, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so there are 5 more slots. Anybody needs a professional level Zooming, God knows, I can help you.
What are the benefits? Is it like a higher quality stream? Is it like what are the benefits that you get on the pro that you don't get on the regular?
What you do is you get an access to it's unlimited time. The biggest mm-hmm. benefit to it is that if you're having any kind of technical problems, they will answer your calls.
Oh, there you go.
Because if you are having any kind of technical problems and you have the sort of the basic pro, which is $150 a year, which means you could go up to 2 hours or whatever, right. They will not answer your call. Mm. You can email them and 48 hours later, they will answer it.
Got it.
Close enough.
Yeah.
They're monitoring it right now. So thank you, Zoom. And there's no refund, and it was an automatic renewal.
Right.
So I just have to remember next March,
right,
to cancel
enable the or disable the auto renew, because you know, chances are they won't let you know.
Yeah,
right.
Chances
before.
Are they're going to want to keep my $2,000.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah, no problems. Yeah, other than that, like the here's the thing about that Jaws that Ravensburger won.
Mm-hmm.
Andy was just telling me that they have other games. They have an IP department over there. And right. I guess they've been sticking the landing with other, what's IP stand for? Property?
Intellectual property.
That's it. So the other one that they've really stuck the landing on is a Jurassic Park game.
Oh.
Which I haven't played yet. Mm-hmm. But get this. Some people play the dinosaur
mm-hmm.
or the dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
And a certain amount of characters are supposed to get eaten.
Oh, okay.
And I guess this is hearsay. So mm-hmm. when you read the rules, so when you play the dinosaurs, you have to, if you eat three people, you win.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're playing one of the characters that gets eaten, you get eaten. It counts as one win for the dinosaurs. Then there's a backup pile of characters that you just take another character.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of nice. Like you still get to play.
Humans breed very quickly. So, there's always another one.
Dinosaurs and their gestation process was a lot slower, I believe.
Now, don't they also have the alien game that Scott Rogers worked on?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I believe they do. I don't know if that is that Ravens. I knew that he was doing an aliens game.
Yeah. Frequent Dork Forest flyer.
Right, right. He is both a fan and a frequent guest.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Was it Alien or Aliens?
Fate of the Nostromo, I believe. I don't remember exactly, but I remember I saw Scott posting about it. I wanted to actually pick up the game.
Fate of the Nostromo on Board Game Geek. And it is Ravensburger. So yeah, I wonder how that is. That you can't defeat the alien, so use what's at hand to keep it at bay until you escape. That's the storyline there. Mm. That's interesting. Okay. Just came out. Scott Rogers, friend of the show, right?
Yeah.
As the kids mm-hmm. say.
Yep.
Really
nice guy, too.
Yeah, really good. One of Andy's good friends. And I also enjoy him. And his wife, Brenda, is listening to this program. Hi, Brenda. His daughter has also been on the show. So everyone can be on the show, you guys. Just email me. I don't mean to say you can't be on the show. It's all a scheduling nightmare. That's the biggest problem. So, Chris, what would you remind me what Gloomhaven is. I don't even remember.
Gloomhaven is essentially Dungeons & Dragons in a box. It's a legacy dungeon crawly game where you go to town, you buy items in the store, you raise levels, and you go from adventure to adventure until you progress, until you reach reach your life's goal, and then you retire. So the character actually retires, then you can't play that character anymore. So you actually have to go in the box and pick another character. But every time a character retires, new characters unlock from the box that you didn't have access to before. So as the game progresses, more characters and more character classes unlock. And then even if you fall in love with a character, nope, sorry, you achieved your life's goal. They're retiring. So
is it done also with an app?
No app. It's all in a box with literally thousands of pieces. And I even added more. Like I said, that's just the stuff that comes with it. But I added like on Etsy, like the rocks and the
right.
You know,
somebody
the
has a
3D
printer,
right?
That they've decided to really get into.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing I really love about it is that it's designed so. Meticulously that and so ingeniously that you don't need somebody, a dungeon master, someone actually playing the monsters. The monsters actually have like an AI that is controlled through cards.
Oh.
So everybody gets to play the adventures and you go through the adventure and the game is actually controlling the monsters.
Oh, wow.
Without
That's
an
kind
app.
Of, that is yeah. fascinating. That's
yeah,
actually
even without
amazing.
An app. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I am currently playing in two different Hero Instant games, Andy's, superhero RPG game. And there is a lot of, the DMing that goes on. I wonder if he's played Gloomhaven. He must have. you know.
I can't imagine Andy has not played Gloomhaven at some point.
Right. I know that he has a small prejudice against games that are supposed to be D&D that aren't D&D. Because he's like, why don't you just play D&D?
Yeah.
Well, because sometimes you can't. I mean, he had people to play with when he was a kid. That's how he got into D&D. I have met so many people that didn't have anyone to play with that they just read the books when they were a kid.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, and it was, it sounds sad. But it also sounds amazing because they've swallowed the damn books, right?
Right.
So that's kind of cool. And so Gloomhaven, having that where the sort of the game itself is controlling those monsters.
Yeah.
Can you play that game solo?
You can play it solo. Although I have to say, it's like, it really feels like it's more fun with other people. I mean, what they do too, like, again, it's, there's a lot of this extra content out there too. Like, I think the designer created specific solo missions for each character class. So you could even just do those on your own with just your one character. It has like random dungeons. It has all these different things to like extend the gameplay. Like you could literally play Gloomhaven for years and not
every day.
It.
Yeah. And in between when you're playing with friends, you could just play those solo missions.
Yes. You could
do
that too.
If you loved it so, which I'm sure somebody does.
And then when you're not playing, you could buy extra figures and things and paint them. So there's all sorts of, you could do something Gloomhaven related every single day.
You really could. That is amazing. That is outstanding. Well, I am looking forward to playing games with you again.
Yes, absolutely.
That would be super fun.
Yeah, let me know when you're back in town and we'll make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. August is literally, I just filled up my August with both a Las Vegas date and an Albany, New York date in the same week. So,
that's some traveling.
And I'm hoping to, and then I'll be, you know, I'm in Phoenix. I might be in Seattle. I don't know where the hell I'll be, but, it turns out, I'm back. you know, I hate change, Chris.
And I understand.
I hated change when we went into lockdown and I hate change when we came out of lockdown.
Yep.
And now there's some things that are sort of becoming sort of a hybrid kind of thing. And I hate that. So it's just, it turns out, whatever thing you want to change, I just got used to the last thing.
Right.
So leave me alone.
Yeah. And I really feel that, you know, like even as we're writers and artists, we're like, we're the last people sometimes to notice that the world is ending, you know, because we like to sequester ourselves alone in places
alone.
Anyway. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But yeah, I felt the same way. I'm like, oh, everything's opening back up again. I'm like, but do I want to go back out all the time? I may not. I may just do it judiciously from now on.
Andy doesn't have any interest in it. He's more than happy to just stay in.
Yeah.
And so I'm making him go to breakfast tomorrow before we drive upstate to the Central California, to Central Valley to visit his mama. What would you recommend? Because we're at an hour, my friend. So what would you recommend people buy if they want to sort of, I mean, the big addiction for you has been, I think, this return.
Gloomhaven.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
And I like that we've learned about the game steward. That's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. And supersizing games is also something I'm kind of like, oh, do I really need? Yes, of course I need that. Of course I need, you know, instead oil tokens that look like little oil barrels. Of course I do. That's ridiculous.
Do. Right.
Why wouldn't I want that? But and it's Scythe is probably one that I really like, and Lords of Waterdeep for sure. Those are the ones I've been playing a lot in Gloomhaven. And I want to dig into Terraforming Mars, because now maybe I'll wait for you guys for that one. We'll open it up and with the tiles, and that'll be really fun.
That'll be really great. It's let me text you as to what my
game playing availability is.
My game schedule looks like.
Yeah,
because quite honestly, oh no, he's got two games that he's running on Sunday. That's crazy. And then, oh yeah, Saturday's full as well. Never mind. Okay. So, yeah.
We can schedule in advance. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. So. And it is summer. So I think your kids are out of school at this time, or?
They are, but they have a short summer. So they'll actually be going back kind of mid-August, which they are not happy about. But they are happy to not be doing online learning anymore. So it's a happy set.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're going back in person in August.
All right. Well, Chris Mancini, everybody, you should follow all the things that he does because it's always entertaining. And you should get the graphic novel, which is called Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master. First one available. If you go to whitecatentertainment.com, it's all linkable. His Facebook, his Twitter, the books, the merch. And then you can listen to archives of Comedy Film Nerds. You can listen to new episodes and archives of The Quiet Journeys of Professor Atwood. And also, what are you watching? So, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Jackie. This was always fun, and I look forward to having you and Andy back at the table.
And Rangers, you know what I always say, and I'll say it again, take care of each other out there.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?